I guess this is the last podcast in this studio, guys.
Oh my God.
This is interesting, to say the least, but I guess the time has come to say goodbye to this studio.
Well, bittersweet feelings. Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
We started with no pictures, and now we got...
Yeah, we pretty much had... Now we had Goku and Vegeta at first.
The All Might.
Yeah. So, you say you started watching the new season. You liked it?
Oh, yeah. I got back to the violence. Like, okay. the friendship aspect is still there, but the fights are getting really good.
And you don't watch it, right?
No, yeah. I don't. Okay. I don't. I don't even know what you're talking about.
My Hero Academia.
Okay, no.
You don't watch anime at all, do you?
Anime? I love Sailor Moon.
Okay.
No, the other day, my partner's like, if you can get an anime tattoo of anything but Hello Kitty. And I was just like, I think Sailor Moon would be my jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up with that, so...
I watched Sailor Moon because it came on right before Dragon Ball Z, and I was like, hey, these chicks kick butt too.
Yeah.
Why not warm up for the 30 minutes of screaming and three punches?
100%. What would get you into anime?
What would get me?
Yeah. Would it be a good story? Would it be the action?
A little bit of both. A good story, good action. And I thought that, you know, watching Sailor Moon from the very beginning when I was a kid, and then, you know, later as a teenager, and they're still coming out with, like, new-ish episodes. Yeah, that kept me hooked for a long time. Plus, it's like, the animation is so pretty. Those chicks kick butt, too.
Dazzle and sparkles.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So I totally would get a Sailor Moon tattoo.
Demon Slayer.
Yeah, right.
It has a decent story. Animation's really good. Mm-hmm. Demon Slayer. Sparkles.
You know, I'm biased. I'll say My Hero. Just because, like, there's a good story behind it. You get action. And they also give you sides of the villains and kind of, like, why the villains are doing what they're doing. As opposed to just, like, oh, these are bad guys. And the bad guys are here to just do bad stuff. You know what I mean?
They're trying to make me sympathetic for the villains, but I'm like...
Villains are people too, or demons. I don't know.
In My Hero, the couple of them, I'm just like, I'm not getting behind this, dude. You've done some sinister shit.
Like who?
Shigaraki's done some sinister shit.
I
know he has a really tough upbringing, and I know his situation was unfortunate, but. My guy, you decimated two cities.
He kind of got Stockholm syndrome from a dude who just destroys a bunch of stuff to kind of fill you in. So he was raised by a monster. He was raised by someone kind of like Diddy in a way. You know, just manipulating people.
But this is before the Stockholm syndrome, dude.
Nah. It's day one. He had him since he was a kid.
You're right, but the city that he destroyed, they showed this before they started telling us.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he was groomed into this position, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. I still can't get behind it. Like, you're a sick fuck, dude.
What?
I'm just catching up, dude, and I know what he does. And I'm just like, nah.
Nah, I get it.
All you had to say was Diddyfy, and I'm like, okay, I understand you.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor cop.
Man, no, everything that keeps coming out about that is crazier and crazier.
But the memes are fire, though.
The memes are out. They can't stop, won't stop. I love it.
Take that.
No, me and one of my good friends have been sending memes to each other back and forth. He's like, dude, I just went on a THC-induced rabbit hole about Diddy.
Oh, you can't.
And no. I'm like, first of all, that's your mistake. But second, keep talking. What you learned in here?
Go ahead.
I've seen so many, same. I've done the same thing. I've seen so many. They need to lock J-Lo up, too. I'm like, J-Lo? What's going
on?
Keep
those baby oil jokes coming.
Oh, my God. As soon as they said baby oil, he was guilty. As soon as they told the amount, I was like, lock him up, dude.
What you mean? Costco sells them in bulk, guys.
Costco even came out and said, we save receipts, dude. Don't lie.
Don't put this on us.
Yo, who was it? Josh Johnson, I believe his name is. He's a comedian that's on YouTube. I don't know if you guys know who he is. But he was talking about, he was like, he just told his little skit and was like, if I go to someone's house and I open the bottom cabinet for whatever reason, I see three bottles of baby oil, I'm like, oh, they some freaks. 1,000? Yo, what are you doing?
Man, Diddy's lawyer said that they were buying stuff in bulk. I was like, dude, like you said, bulk of baby oils. Like,
nothing else is bulk, just baby oil.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I have a brother with a newborn baby. I asked him how much baby oil is he used. He said, he's like, not much, honestly, which means that stuff lasts years, dude. What are you doing with it?
Yeah, no, it's us. I do feel sorry for all the victims, I will say that. As fun as the memes are, you just, like, you got to feel a little bit for the victims just because that's messed up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It definitely is. It makes it tough to laugh, but that's the one part about it that makes me feel bad. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know there are victims who have to relive this and see these memes play out, but whenever there's a perp running from a cop spraying himself with baby oil and then slides across the floor on my phone screen, I'm going to laugh.
It's literally the only way I can digest news is through a little bit of humor.
Yeah.
Especially like this, like, terrible news. Like, give me a little bit of humor with it. I know that it's hard to laugh when, you know, things are just terrible in the world, but just a little, like, tiny silver lining's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because, like, the older generation, say our generation and the generation of after us, are hard to, like we don't empathize as much as them, but our whole life has been 9/11, school shooting, like
pandemic, economic collapse.
We just see this. We're just like, and it's not just the news. We don't just see the news' point of view. We have social media. We have survivors' point of views. So we're real, like, numb to that stuff.
And also, we've seen, like, I feel like a lot of corruption and things go on, and a lot of people not get punished for it. So it's very much like, what are we going to do about it? Not a dang thing, but sit here and just laugh at it, because that's all we can do about it.
No, Diddy get punished. Diddy and R. Kelly are doing jail room concerts for honey buns and moon pies in a couple.
Maybe a little bit of ramen and cigarettes on that.
Man, you can't touch with ramen anymore either. Y'all hear?
Yeah, ramen super recalled.
Yeah,
what?
Super recalled.
Yeah, ramen guys. Andrew's gonna hate that.
Man. Yeah, and it's like bad. There's been like 8 deaths because of that one.
And kids have died from this stuff.
Oof.
Like, yeah, there's like some bacteria that's in there and you can't see it, but whenever it's like heated up, it activates. And it just, like, mass grows.
All right, I'm going to have to look into this because now I'm really curious. Yeah. But one of the – it also reminds me – let me shift this a little bit. But there's a brand called Nongshim ramen. Mm-hmm. It's, like, in a red packet. I don't remember. I don't remember if it's, like, Korean, Japanese or whatever. But they're going to come out with a whole ramen restaurant dedicated to it in K-Town. Really? Yeah, okay. Like, what isn't in K-Town right now?
God, that sounds dope. I've never heard of this brand.
It's a good one. I grew up
really, really poor, so all we had was Marichan.
Oh, yeah.
Marichan.
It was one or the other, and you couldn't go any other way.
Oh, like, my God.
What were you going to say?
I eat Marichan so much in college to where they just make me sick thinking about them. I used to love ramen, too. Dude.
I only eat the chicken flavor. I don't eat any other flavors, just the chicken flavor.
Nah, my mom's Asian. She gives me the better stuff.
Have you guys ever put an egg in your ramen? Like, cook it with the egg? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, my mom is Asian. We've done this.
She's like, isn't that what I just told you?
You know, I just felt like that was, like, the extra, like, poor man secret.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, to make it really good, you throw the egg in it. So I didn't know if you knew that, you know.
Of course.
Dude, I used to throw the egg in it, and then my grandma used to have these, like, chicken things that you can bake on a skillet, and they were already cut. So I'd make the ramen and then set it to the side, and then I'd make the chicken thing and then put that, like, and just stir it all up.
Yeah.
Bussin'.
That sounds good, right?
Tell us, it's like... Tell me that you've been broke without telling me you've been broke. We've lived that life.
When you're tired of drinking just water and you make sugar water.
I remember, in high school, I never had money when we went out to eat. And there was this place called Steak and Shake, 24-hour spot. And we pull up and everyone would get, like, sodas and stuff. I would get water. the sugar packets on the thing. I was like, can I get some cherry? So I could mix it in with my water. So I got like some cherry sugar water. That was my poor man's drink.
Oh, that's awesome. Fucking funny, dude. I used to do it, but with lemon airline.
Both of those are valid. I can't say I've ever done that, but maybe with like sparkling water, but.
I used to do that shit a lot at home.
What?
Get a lemon, cut it open, squeeze it, put some sugar and water into it. And then
it's like a poor man's lemonade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of sugar and water, man, let's get on some fight news. Let's talk about some fight stuff.
The sweet science.
The sweet science.
Where are you at? Have you been keeping up with like UFC and all that stuff recently?
Yeah, I have been. Also, I am wearing my CJI shirt.
Oh, you finally got it.
Yeah, I finally got it. Yay. I can't show it to the
Was it Josh?
Yeah, my buddy Josh. Thank you, Josh. I really appreciate this. And it's got a whole graphic in the back too, and I put it on and Andrew's like, looks like two dudes like doing something that they shouldn't be doing, but I'll show that to you guys later. That sounds but it's like, not though, because it's like, if you know, but I guess not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
You know, Craig Jones probably put a little secret like hidden meme in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's like two shirtless dudes like grappling.
I love it.
I would definitely wear it like without this because, I mean, it's a little chilly this morning.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, putting on some cholo vibes this morning. But yeah, I would rock it without this. It's like if you, it looks like two dudes doing something. They're both shirtless and he loves no-gi, so.
So it looks like, I'm assuming it's him in a Speedo.
I'll let you see it. But yeah, I've been keeping up with the UFC. I think as we speak right now, the fights are going on. They're in France.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yep.
Who's so that's happening today?
I don't know. It's an off week, so I didn't pay attention.
Oh no, the headliner is Benoit Saint Denis.
Okay,
and Renato Moicano. So that should be a banger.
Saint Denis fought Poirier last.
Yeah, yeah,
didn't he?
He did.
Yeah,
he was doing good. Like he has some fucking skill.
He does, and he's like, I don't know, ex French special forces in their army or navy or something. So after that, he retired from that. He's up there fighting. So should be a good one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fight card right now, and I don't know any of these names, and they all seem to be like. You know, lower on the rank numbers. But
they're also very, like, it's off French fighters.
Yeah, maybe that's why. But that's wild.
The white flag wavers. No.
Right.
I think the next time I was going to pay attention, I think it was it next week, 307? Yeah, that was when I was going to pay attention. Alex Pereira and Khalil Roundtree is the main.
Oh man, Khalil coming back from his like suspension. I haven't read up on what happened, but I know he like self-reported. They found something, and he dropped positive for something, but a very like minuscule amount. I haven't read up on what happened on for him to be allowed to come back to fighting because that seemed like a very short suspension. If you've heard about that,
do you know about it?
I don't even know.
From my understanding, I don't remember what it is, but it's something that doesn't even actually help you.
Yeah,
at all. It just a ban, something that UFC mm-hmm. had. So I think the situation was he got tainted supplements, found out about it. Like he was told, hey, you could take something. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was given to him by the UFC. It was something like that.
Yeah, or somebody like affiliated with.
Yeah.
And I just remember he like self-reported and was like, this was given to me. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But then, you know, all the trolls in the comments be like, you know, why are you taking that? Or something about, you know, performance enhancing.
If I don't think he should have got suspended if he was given to him by someone from the UFC or an affiliate, yeah. You know, that's bullshit.
And especially if you kind of like self-report, like mm-hmm. you go into.
Because you're not hiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to just juice up and then snap back in here, so.
Yeah, right. And then honestly, Khalil Roundtree doesn't really need steroids.
No.
Like, if there's, like, a steroid for super cardio, I could see him maybe taking that. But, like, for strength, and he doesn't need that.
No. But that should be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one. And I think we've got Raquel Pennington and Juliana Pena running it back for the belt. Should be a fun fight. I do really... I don't know. I'd like to see more death in the 135 division. It looks like it's only the only three or four 135ers that are always like fighting or making the news after, especially after Nunez left.
Yeah.
Well, they're still afraid. Like Nunez was like the boogeyman. She had afraid to come outside.
But now we have Harrison and possibly take that place.
I don't know why. I just don't think she will. I know she's great. I've seen her fight. I just don't think, I don't know. I don't think people, like, after dealing with Nunez for so long, I don't think the people in the UFC are that afraid of her.
I don't know.
And she just seems like, I don't know. I think her ground game is going to be her weakness here just because a lot of these girls are great with jiu-jitsu and she's kind of stiff.
I know. Yeah. She is an Olympic gold medalist in judo. So, you know, that is definitely a strength and a point that she relies on to get her through, to especially get people on the ground. Cause I have seen her fight too. And, you know, it's a bloody, you know, it's a bloodbath by the end of it.
She's huge.
I know.
She is jacked. Like, I would not want to meet her in a dark alley.
No. She's like Stars and Stripes.
Yeah. Oh, that's, you got
character
watch
from My Hero.
Gotcha.
I think I'll pull up a photo just so you can see what Stars and Stripes looks like.
But I don't know. What I was getting at, I think she has a good judo and like she's like great in most areas, but I think there's openings for a lot of these girls on the ground just because I've never really seen her. Like I've seen her get you to the ground and maul you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. I feel like that's all I've really seen her do is just like go to a ground and pound.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen her really like do any jiu-jitsu or
her stand up's good too. I think I'd rather deal with her on the ground than get punched in the face by her for
Oh, months. Okay. That tracks. Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. Just a jacked blonde woman who's ready to kick ass, like
yeah.
She released a video trading judo with Alex Pereira, didn't she? I think so. A couple months ago, they were doing some cage work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay,
it sounds familiar vaguely, but you know, I got a lot come across my feed these days.
Right, I have the most random shit come across my feed.
No, she threw the shit out of Alex.
You know, speaking of that, like, do you think Khalil, we all herald Khalil as a great fighter. Do you mm-hmm. think he has what it takes to take down Alex Pereira?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, even the Giants fall sometimes. But, you know, he's on a momentum. He's on a streak right now. So, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I know Khalil is probably, you know, he has really strong discipline. So I'm sure he's like in the gym and, you know, working on his recovery, doing what it takes. But yeah, I just really can't say at this point.
Alex is like people just think Alex is all power, but his fight IQ is really high.
Yeah.
Despite what like people think. But I do believe in the sport saying any given Sunday. I think anyone can beat anyone. It's just a matter of what person shows up to the mat that day. But overall, I think Khalil's gonna. I think like someone needs to take Alex down. Someone has to take Alex down, and I don't think
Izzy did though. Izzy did, and then he ran up to the higher division.
Izzy did, but Izzy's ground game's trash too. We're being rude, super super trash. But I don't know. I just don't see Khalil Roundtree being able to do it. I think he's good. I think he's a tough person to beat in that division. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's going to do it.
He certainly has the work ethic.
Yeah.
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 I think, if I'm a betting man, I don't think I can bet against Alex on anyone right now at the moment. Maybe John Jones, if they somehow made that fight, but
Alex would have to stay at heavyweight. He wouldn't have to. But that's the thing. That's another thing I'm thinking. If Alex goes to heavyweight and he doesn't have to cut, no. And like, it's no secret. Most of those heavyweights are just kind of, they don't have fight IQ.
No.
It's like two gorillas just fighting in a cage.
That's exactly what it's like.
They're either throwing haymakers or like wrestling.
Yo, yeah. Go ahead.
John Jones is the only one, dude. John Jones is legitimately the only one. And I'm not going to speak on Tom Aspinall because I've never watched him fight. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, there's a reason those fights are so quick. They either gas themselves out or they just slang and bang them.
Yeah. Yo, speaking of haymakers, did you guys see the Anthony Joshua fight?
I did.
Like, he got floored. If you didn't see it, it's boxing.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Joshua's a boxer. He's the one who beat Francis Ngannou in boxing.
Oh, okay. And, all right.
And it was just like, I was hoping that what happened to him in this last fight was going to be what happened with him against Francis Ngannou. Because, like, it was just haymaker after haymaker. And Joshua just kept getting knocked down. I think by the third or fourth round, they ended up calling the fight. Like, he just got beat.
Man.
Well, I'm not sure, because a lot of big boxers have been going down. Because I know Cruz lost recently. Joshua lost. Fury lost to Usyk, but I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Wait, but what about Canelo? I didn't.
Canelo won.
Canelo won.
That was the same night as the UFC fight, so I wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
Was that 306 the same night?
Yeah.
Which was stupid. Go ahead. Sorry, I cut everybody off.
No, I think there's another publication that's been kind of taking over, and they're forcing a lot of these American fighters to fight fighters overseas or different fighters, and a lot of them have been like.
Pretty legit.
I mean, I think that would be good for boxing, because I just feel like for a while, boxing has very much been like, we're gonna spoon feed you to the fighters that we think you can win. Once you get your name, we don't really want you to have a tainted record. And so it's been like,
so they're giving them cans to fight.
Yeah, pretty much. Plumbers. Pretty much. Yeah. And I think like that's what the sport needs, especially if it wants to contend with any of the mixed martial arts, because I feel like that's more exciting. Go ahead.
I think my favorite boxer is going to do okay. I think a lot of them are in trouble, but my favorite boxers will be fine. Canelo, he's proven. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis has fought some good people, you know?
Yeah.
And that fight IQ is fucking crazy, dude. His fucking fight IQ is crazy. So I think he's going to be fine. Everybody else, fraud watch.
It's tough because, especially like in the heavyweight division of boxing, there's not a lot of fighters that you can really like pick from that are, you can say are good. It comes down to, again, kind of like with the UFC, who are the heavyweight fighters? You only got a handful that you can really look at and go, hey, these people are good. These people are killers.
Yeah.
What?
And there's so many boxers that usually it's like, who the fuck is this? And then he knocks someone out, and then it's like, oh, that's who the fuck is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They came there to make a statement.
You know, this is switching over to 1FC real quick. What do you guys feel about this whole thing with Mikey Musumeci and him losing his belt? Because I feel like it's kind of messed up.
You told me about it in the car. I agree. It's kind of fucked up, especially because, like,
but didn't he like try to cut weight and didn't make weight, got really sick, and then had to vacate the belt?
Yeah. But the scenario before that, he wasn't even supposed to fight this guy. He was supposed to fight Kay Bertolo, but Kay Bertolo pulled out, which is, he's fighting him at a higher weight to begin with.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, that's a little messed up. If anything, that should have been downgraded from like not a championship fight.
Yeah.
But I know 1FC has like a little different set of rules than UFC. I think they would probably do the same thing if this was a UFC fight, though.
Yeah,
that was crappy.
If we're being real, though, doesn't he mainly do grappling matches?
Yeah.
He's getting his belt back in like a month.
Two months. It's Mikey. I think he can bounce back from this. He's young, he's healthy, and you know, let's hope he keeps on that up and up.
He's so skilled, and it's crazy because I always forget he has a sister. And she trains too. Oh, yeah. And I'm pretty sure they train like pretty close. But something about having that sibling that does your martial art with you just takes you to the next fucking level. The Rotolo brothers, Mikey and his sister. There's two more siblings that I can't think of right now. But they just always have someone to kind of play that back and forth game and push them. But I don't think there's anyone in that weight division, that weight area in 1FC that's going to beat Mikey unless the Rotolo brothers. But they're doing MMA, not grappling, you know?
Yeah. Do you think you will see Mikey in MMA at some point? Because, I mean, I've been seeing him. He's training.
He's training with Mighty Mouse. I don't see why. I don't see why not. But it's one thing to train. It's another thing to take a punch.
That is true. Because I'm training and I ain't taking no punches. So.
Yeah, it's definitely one thing to train and it's one thing to take a punch. that's what it, that's gonna what it's gonna come down to. As soon as he gets into those sparring rounds and decides, like, can I consistently take punches, or do I want to consistently take punches? But if as good as his grappling is, I wouldn't. If he was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, I wouldn't question it.
That's why I wonder why the Bertolas are doing it, because they're so good at grappling and they're making their money. Like, it makes no sense to be like, all right, we'll fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're already set. You're already good to go, especially now you're a millionaire.
More avenues to bring in that money, I guess.
I guess, but
go ahead. You know they're going to feed him cans until to build up the record a little bit.
Yeah, and well, and then it's like, I don't know. Something about the Rutolo brothers, like, the money is nice, but I don't think they're really doing it for the money. I think they like the I'm fucking Cade Rutolo, dude. You're not going to beat me. I think they like the glory of it all. I think they genuinely might like to fight, you know? Yeah. So, because I've been watching them fight each other for years on IG, like, boxing gloves. Like, when they made the, like, switch to MMA, it didn't really surprise me, you know? But I think they just like to fight, for real.
I get it. I just, at some point, you know, enough money's enough money, I feel like.
Yeah,
kind of. Is it though in this economy?
I mean, I get it, but like, I think like Diddy's a prime example of like when you get too much money, you just start doing stuff that doesn't make
sense.
Stupid
shit.
And
Conor was a fluke. I don't think anyone's getting that kind of money through fighting ever again.
Yeah,
I think Conor was just Conor was a one-time thing. I don't think that shit's ever happening in the UFC again.
No. I mean, don't think he's coming back. I don't think...
No. No.
There's no way. He's old. He's injured constantly. Yeah. Making excuses about his, like, big toe or whatever his excuse was. I don't think he's coming back.
He's a fucking... He's a cokehead.
Yeah, that too.
Can he beat me up? Probably, you know? Is he on coke? Two things can be true, dude.
That's true.
And that's why he's not coming back. And then he wants to own... He wants to buy part of the UFC. They told him no, so he brought Bare... He's like 50-50 owner of Bare Knuckle.
Bare Knuckle, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wants to fight there. You know, like, he's in, like, he's just doing too much.
Okay, how much, like, over... Let's take bets on how much longer it'll take for him to, like, buy the slap...
Ooh.
Which, by the way, I saw in the news, again, the slap competition gives you worse CTE than freaking MMA.
Yeah, because MMA, you have a whole, like, body you can choose to hit from. I can hit you in the leg. I can hit you in the side. The slapping one is just direct face hits. Speaking of that slap fights, dude, it hurts my heart to just see Paige VanZant just...
Oh, is she in it?
She's just...
Yeah, she beat somebody.
I didn't know that she was even doing it.
She did bare knuckle.
Girl, she's
fighting.
Doing everything for money these days. Yeah, she was doing bare knuckle.
She did OnlyFans for a while. She went to bare knuckle fighting, and then now she's on the slap thing. And
she
then,
also fought like in a boxing match, just some no name out of England.
I've seen that. That girl OnlyFans. Beat her up, dude. That girl beat her up, and it was just kind of. I was just like, dude. Why did the UFC treat their veterans like they're because Paige VanZant was one of the first ones.
That's
her.
Right.
Her and Michelle Waterson.
Mm-hmm.
The karate hottie. Like,
I feel like I hate seeing women take damage in sports in general. I know that sounds like kind of sexist, in the sense of just like, I just don't want to see women beat up. Like,
but we signed the waiver.
I know. So like, I accept it and I do. And don't get me wrong, I watch it. Like that one girl who had the like big ass cut.
Oh, we got to talk about the UFC 306.
Yeah. That was disgusting.
Irene Aldana, what a gangster, man. That was terrible to watch. Like, she got did dirty for that one. Yeah. Man, I think that was like the worst cut on anyone's face in the UFC that anyone has ever seen. And yes, very much so.
It was like, I think it was like 20 some stitches.
Yeah. Across your face. Holy shit. I can't imagine.
So I went through a windshield. I think you might know this. I know for sure you do. And that's like what the scars are on my face. And like when I was looking, I was like, that looks like when I looked at my face in the mirror before the ambulance showed up. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, that is not good. Like, she needs to get that stitched up now.
Norma Dumont's a heavy hitter. Both those ladies are heavy hitters, but yeah. She got her good. But yeah, we got to talk about UFC 306 because yeah, I feel you. So Raul La Rosa, I think he was the first fight to start off that card. And I don't know. I am not a fan of Raul La Rosa's. I think it's because like he is 18 years old, 19 or, you know, whatever. And
did you even try school?
Yeah, right. Did you even try school? And bro, do you have teeth? I don't know. But I swear every interview he's like, he has to wear dentures or something. No hate, but oh my God.
I don't like him either, but the chi-wee-wee's thing cracks me up.
Yeah, that one. I'll accept that one. But I remember his debut. He's the kind of guy that comes out swinging. Right out the gate. But and I think it took another, he lost to an unranked fighter that kind of exposed his weakness to a fighter that has a little bit more patience and probably is, you know, has been practicing with someone who is like, you know, explosive right out the gate, that kind of thing. So it took one fighter to expose that weakness. I think, you know, if he's calling for a top 15 fight, I think maybe he needs, give him somebody in the top 15 just to see.
I don't know about weight, you. Right?
Yeah.
There's like levels to I felt like I hit like naturally I got a lot stronger in between the ages of 18 to 20 and then 20 to 25 and then 25 to 30. Like that old man strength, I think it's something that you build up as a man throughout the years. And like, there's nothing wrong with him starting his UFC career early, but I don't think he should be trying to rush up the ranks because he's going to run into some high IQ fighters with a lot more strength than he can probably handle.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if we look at the top now or the top few people now in the 135, who we got, like Marab, who just got the belt, we've got Sugar Sean, we've got Corey Sanhagen, and I don't know. Those are some, those are some really heavy fighters too.
There's those are the top ones that I can come off the top of my head. I'm pulling up the rankings right now so we don't mess this up.
Sanhagen, man.
I had the pleasure of meeting him in Denver and, you know, nice, really nice guy. He's got done dirty by a couple of fights. I feel like him and TJ Dillashaw should have been a winner or should have been a victory for Corey. And I think that, you know, I can speak for most fans that say this, where it should not have been like a split decision win when, you know, I think TJ sustained a lot more damage from Corey, but then, you know, he did express his dissatisfaction after the fact, like, well, I guess damage doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think that after the Marat, because I personally think Dana's sick that Brob's the champion.
I think so too.
He is. Oh, man. He's funny.
I think Sean is too, unfortunately.
Is Sean trolling us or is he really serious? Because I think low key he is trying to call three rounds for the fight, and I've rewatched the fight and I don't think he won.
No, he didn't look like he was mentally there. Yeah, and I think that goes the same for the fight before that, Alexa too, but we can get to that in a second. But with Marab was like, you know, out-wrestled him, outclassed him in those ways. I did not see Sean like pulling out any win of any of those rounds. Maybe one, but barely.
Yeah.
I think, again, I'm not an O'Malley fan. Don't like O'Malley. but I think that rotator cuff injury was really starting to catch up to him.
Yeah, it's no joke.
and that's something hard to do. Like, when you're dealing with a wrestler, like, it's one thing to strike, that shit has to hurt. But when you're dealing with a wrestler who's pressuring you, putting you on your back, kind of exposing that weak arm, it's kind of hard. And I don't think he really wanted to be there either.
Yeah.
So do you think he comes back and win it? And he's going to be off for a year now, it seems like.
I'd say a year, yeah. He's going to be off for a long time.
I don't see a rematch happening, but I don't know. UFC is very obsessed with their rematches. I just don't see this one happening. It didn't happen for the 125 winner. What was it? Pantoja and Royval, when they went and fought for the belt. Royval lost that one. But then like a month or so later, he like stepped in for somebody last minute. It's like, what? So there's not going to be a rematch? Like, what's going on?
Royval's my dog, too.
Yeah,
my
he's dog. Out of Denver also. Also a really nice guy.
I've been a fan of his since he lost the fight to Moreno.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which he lost it because he fucked his shoulder up. But yeah. Personally, I thought he was winning. Mm-hmm. I thought he was winning leading until the shoulder happened. But that's my guy. And I think if he gets his second shot, he's going to win.
I think so, too. I think he'll come back better than he was the first time.
Yeah. I don't know much about
him. You need to do your research on Raw Dog.
It's that Colorado, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. He's an exciting. There's no dull moments in his fights, bro. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
Copy. Yeah, going back to Sean, I don't know. It seems like he's salty he lost, like you're saying. It seems like he's mad he lost.
Well, he is, dude, but he pretty much got fed to the grinder, and he thought he was ready and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And by the grinder, I mean the almighty equalizer wrestling, dude. You can't go to MMA, mixed martial arts, and not have a wrestling background at this point, in my opinion. It doesn't make sense. And to run from it like O'Malley has, and like the jokes were funny when everyone couldn't take you down, the whole like slapping the little doll and doing the cage work. Like, it was funny, but there's multiple champions right now that have proved that if you don't have wrestling, you don't stand a chance.
I think a good matchup will definitely be Sanhagen and O'Malley next. I think they're the same body types, both like 5'11", can cut down to 135. I know Corey's pretty well-rounded in both grappling and striking. And what I think Corey has the edge on is the mental game just a little bit. So that would be a good matchup, in my opinion.
I'm glad you said that, because I 100% agree. Because, again, I don't like O'Malley, and I think that'll be the beginning of the end.
I actually thought O'Malley was going to be essentially the next Conor McGregor. I thought he was going to be able to...
They're grooming him to be, I think.
Get that star power. That's
what I don't like about O'Malley, in all honesty, because you can't, like... Despite what companies think, you can't groom. McGregor, that was genuine. McGregor was so fun to watch because at the end of the day, excuse my language, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been an asshole. He, like, the stealing the belt, the shit talking, that all came naturally to him because that's him. Mm-hmm. Like, O'Malley, like...
I don't know. He's been doing some wild-ass interviews about his personal life, and I'm like, let's learn a little bit less about each other.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, O'Malley's not, like... He may be being honest, but he's not funny. Like, mm-hmm. McGregor situationally was funny. Sure. O'Malley's not funny to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I'm still a little salty just how he did Aljo. And, like, you know, Aljo, you know, it's for... What I like about Aljo is that no matter what, I feel like he stayed true to who he was.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the fans wanted a little bit more of a show from him. And he's like, that's not me. I'm going to do what's authentic to me. And that's why I've always liked Aljo, and I respect him hands down. And then after the fight, he was like, I'm taking it better than Aljo did. I'm not, you know, saying he won. The better man won. And then, like, not even 2 days later, he's putting up all these memes and stuff like, I'm the champ. I got the belt. I rewatched it. Did a whole 8-minute video on YouTube and was just like, yeah, I'm the champ. The Sugar Commission takes the belt back. And it's like,
are you okay?
Are you okay? Like, are you okay, sir?
Yeah. But got hit in the head a few too many times.
I'm not going to lie. I know someone that was surprised you probably enjoyed him getting his ass beat for 5 rounds.
Who?
His lady, dude. He talked a lot of shit. She probably was like, she's like, oh, kick him.
Yeah. You know, that you talked about Conor McGregor ever coming back. I'm going to say he never comes back, and that's why Michael Chandler has moved on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not fair. He kind of did Michael dirty, you know?
Yeah.
Holding up somebody's career for 3 years, anticipating a fight, going on, like, the Ultimate Fighter, both being coaches, to promote this fight. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the
fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, you know me.
That's your boy, remember?
That's your boy.
He was, dude. This last, like, two years has made me, like, dislike him. Not because of the Chandler thing, because there was multiple points where the UFC was like, take another fight, dude. Mm. You want to take another fight? He's like, no, I'm gonna wait for this one. And that was his choice. But the toe thing, the rehab thing, it's just always something with him at this point. And if we're being honest, when was the last time, like, When was the last time he fought that was like good and consistently fought? Like 2015. We're coming up on 10 years now.
Yeah. I think back in, was it 16? No.
When he fought Cowboy?
Yeah, when he fought Cowboy. That one, I think, was the last one that he actually like put on a show. And I do want to also like touch on that too. John Jones, you think John Jones going down the same route?
I don't like everyone, he's the GOAT, quote unquote, but like, seems like you're not wanting to fight Aspinall.
I know.
He's seems like you him. Just want to get this last little feather in your cap and call it a day. That's what it seems like to me.
So I kind of get where John's coming from the point, and like Stipe signed the contract. The contract isn't void because you have an interim belt and all of a sudden you think you hold more importance. I had an injury. Shit happens. He had to have surgery. But if you want the fight, wait for the fight. One thing John Jones has never done is ran from a fight. John Jones isn't afraid of Aspinall. Like, if we're being real, like, Aspinall's good, but part of the UFC is you have to sell fights. John Jones has ended bigger names than Aspinall. John Jones has knocked out bigger names than Aspinall. And we can go all the way back to, like, what, 2007, 2008? And, like, no one's to say Aspinall can't do it. But why does Aspinall's claim to, and, like, if we're being real, the heavyweight is filled with bums, Aspinall, John Jones, and Stipe. If they had a contract already, why does he get to jump ahead of...
But does anyone really ever... No one, at least for... I'm going to speak for myself. I did not want to see Stipe versus Jones.
I don't think anyone does at this point.
After Wood, Francis Ngannou did to Stipe. It kind of just showed that Stipe's a little bit older. He's time for him to retire. Throw in it, you know, go be a fireman. Like, no disrespect to him. Mm-hmm. He's had his career... Hats off to him for his career, but I feel like he's done. Like, call it a day.
I don't disagree with you, because at this point, if I'm not mistaken, Stipe is like 43.
Maybe he's up 45. There. Yeah, he's up there.
I get it, but like contractually, that's the only reason.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you were saying cans earlier. They're just feeding John Jones cans. John Jones is going to go up and wait. Give him all cans. Like, give him
not
people.
Calling Stipe a can, because I know he was good in his day.
Rubber matches, know. Whatever the case is, the match but, that you know you're going to win.
The thing is like, John Jones's last fight was versus
Ciryl Gane. Yeah.
No one thought Ciryl Gane was a can, but now that John Jones beat him, he's looked at as a fucking can.
Which sucks, because I'm like, I like Ciryl.
And like, the thing is like, I'm a believer. I don't like John Jones as a person, but I know what I see when I look at John Jones as a fighter. And like, if Aspinall wants to rush his way into being on that super long list of people who got put the fuck away, that's on him. But you know,
I mean, you want the glory.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Like after Stipe, John Jones isn't gonna go after anyone else. It's gonna happen. But you can't jump another man's payday because things didn't go in your favor. You know what I mean? There's nothing John Jones has said that makes me believe he's afraid of that man.
Except not taking a fight.
How is he going to take the fight when he has another fight already?
Right. I'm just saying.
You know, it's like one of those things. Like, why are you going to look ahead of what's in front of you? You know what I mean? Either way, either the UFC has to pay Stipe out, which Stipe doesn't want to do. Stipe wants to fight. Or that he has to wait.
Okay.
And who the fuck is Tom Aspinall? You know what I mean? You beat some cans in the heavyweight division, the known weakest division in the UFC the whole time. You know.
Yeah.
Shut up and wait.
Oh, no. I wanted to shift over to Valentina versus Alexa quick. That was a really tough one to watch. I mean, neither of them fought like champs in this fight. No. I don't think that Alexa was there fully, and I think Valentina kind of took advantage of that. And going into the fight, I kind of figured that her strategy was going to keep, you know, taking Alexa down. And lo and behold, it was. And the whole time, it just felt like it was very much ground control, lay and pray type thing. There was, she wasn't busy on the ground. Alexa was down there, you know, trying for subs, trying for all of that. But, you know, it just felt like, you know, this is just kind of the easy way out. Their first fight, I thought they, Alexa had kind of a slow start, and Valentina, of course, you know, came in, like, has a, you know, mentality that, you know, she's a champ. She's going to fight like one. I certainly think they both did that first one where Alexa exposed a weakness, capitalized on it. The second one was, you know, it ended up in a draw, which was very unfortunate. Like, why are we doing draws anymore? It's so, it's ridiculous.
Overtime, sixth round.
Yeah, I know. Let's start in a sixth round, sudden death match, whatever. But yeah, that second round or that second fight went a lot better than this last one. It's very unfortunate, but you know, I think she's taking the loss in stride. I don't see her on social media, like, you know, talking shit.
Yeah.
And you know, she's just out there like, you know, it's over. I can like chill for a little bit now. But yeah.
I think Valentina is just kind of entering her GSP age where she's going to start putting on a lot of boring fights because she really has nothing to prove anymore.
You know? I mean, she could move up. I figured like if she lost this fight the third time, she'll probably move up to 35 and try to challenge for that one. But I think Manon Fiorot can put on a fight with her. I think that Manon is well-rounded enough of a fighter. She's got grappling. She's got striking. I think she can expose some of Valentina's weaknesses in their next fight.
I think so. I just want to go back here. The first fight between Valentina and Alexa, great fight. I think like it was exactly what you're saying, championship caliber fight. Second fight, I think Valentina had a spot on as far as like they gave it a draw because it was a Hispanic night or whatever.
I call bullshit. But
you don't think so? You don't think so?
I call bullshit.
I just have this thing with the UFC refs and how they play things, and sure. I just felt like UFC has been trying to like for a while now garner a partnership with the Mexican community, the Hispanic community, and I feel like if they had of given that fight to Valentina that specific night, it would have probably damaged the equity within that community. Wow. Even look at what they did with the spear; it was all catered towards the Hispanic culture.
You know, and it was awesome, the fight in the sphere, the graphics and stuff. I'm like, ooh, that's so cool.
I think it was a waste of time and money.
If they have the money to, you know, put it on, and if people have the money to buy tickets for them, whatever, let them have, you know, let them eat cake.
My issue with it, can I say this real quick? My issue was that, like, you give me two screens. You have this big, huge projector. You give me two little screens.
Okay, yeah,
like,
fair.
Make the whole thing the fight. I want to be in the ring with the fighters. That's what we're paying for.
I was kind of wondering that, too.
And it's like, it's cool. These graphics on the side are cool. Put those in between when they're walking out. But when the fight's on, leave the big screen. The whole thing needs to be the fight. And that was my issue with it.
Right.
And that's why I said the spirit was garbage.
Those tickets were expensive.
Yeah.
Because I looked at it out of curiosity and I'm just like, who is shelling out $1,000 for like for all of this?
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
I really had nothing to say. I liked the sphere kind of.
Yeah.
There were certain aspects I liked of the sphere. I do think that I don't think they'll be there again because I've seen how maybe it was the card because O'Malley didn't perform.
No.
The
prelim card was great.
And then up to Ortega versus Lopez, then yeah.
Speaking of that fight, you know what's funny about that one, dude? Mm. He fucking woke Ortega up.
He did. I love that. I am such a Diego fan now.
The first punch knocked him out, and the second, because he was just, he threw the combo. The second punch woke him up. If he would have just hit him with the one and let him hit the ground, it would have been a done fight.
But yeah, that was the fight that I was personally very much waiting for. I like Brian Ortega a lot. I think he's very well-rounded, you know, as a fighter. But then you have Diego coming in hot, like coming up, soaring up these rankings, which is incredible. Good for him. And he kind of exposed Ortega and his weakness.
He also just likes to fight.
He does. He's just like, I'm ready to bang, bro. Then after his fight, he was out there cornering Alexa. Like, just put on, you know, his jacket and was like, all right, you know, it's business now.
I love T-City, but I think it's, again, time But just like I said with Stipe, time for him to stop. Like he's gotten beat up enough times and he takes damage.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's a warrior. This is what I love about him. He's a warrior. He'll go out and he'll die before he freaking gives up. Mm-hmm. So like shout out to him. But like when I think about his safety and longevity and his health in the future, I think it's time.
Yeah, there's a few fighters I think it's time for. Yeah. And he is definitely one of them. He's been around for a minute, too.
And, you know, with the, you know, us being able to make more money in grappling, like, he has such a huge name. He can command a good dollar amount in grappling. Just switch routes, in my opinion.
You think he's going to beat these high competitors in grappling? You think he's going to switch and beat them?
I think if, like, he focuses his time on it, yeah, I think he can. He, you know, he definitely has the endurance and gas tank to go, you know, 3 to 5 rounds with anyone in a fight. And that's taxing.
That's tough.
You got to have some athletic ability. And when you can specialize in not having to take punches and you can specialize in just honing one thing over and over again, I think he has the ability to.
You know, you're probably right. Because I think the like the lower weights, like the bantam weights, I think they can kind of switch and take over. I don't think 185 and up can in the UFC, just because that's where the jiu-jitsu monsters are, is 185.
Right.
Well, since we're talking about jiu-jitsu, if there's nothing else anyone talks about, let's shift gears real quick because we're close to that ending point. This is technically the last show in this studio.
I know. What are you going to miss about
what am I going to miss?
Yeah.
Not a dang thing.
No?
Nah. I mean, you know, honestly, I haven't even gotten there yet. I'm still thinking about editing the last episode that we did.
Oh, gotcha.
And, like, getting this edit and coordinating our final episode and how that's going down. But, yes. I think I'm going to miss... I have to say, I'll miss that, like, what this was. This is the first studio. We built it out for this, and, like, we built it out. It's my living room. But, you know, shout out to my lady for letting me just keep our apartment like this, I guess. I'm just happy it was the first space. Like, you know what I mean? It's that first, like, settled. Like, because when we first started, we were, like, cramped in this small room. And I was like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to stay in this for you know, a whole year. But then, you know, we got this apartment and, you know, it all kind of worked out. So
that's good.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, like, looking forward to next year and looking back on this last year, what do you guys think you guys have learned the most through jiu-jitsu? And, you know, what are you looking forward to going into the next year?
I think I have really started to hit my stride on my blue belt journey this year. I know that, you know, it took a while after moving here to, you know, figure out like which gym I want to be in. And now that I found a home that I'm so, so grateful for, I think my game is evolving a little bit more, you know, especially being under the leadership that I am now. And I'm, you know, like I said, so grateful for the lessons. Think next year I really want to turn it up a notch. I haven't had time for comp this year. I've just been so busy and bogged down with like my regular day job, but I don't know. We'll see. I might catch a wild hair and maybe throw in a competition this year, but next year that's going to be the year. Okay. I say that all the time, but no, I really want to make it.
Lizzie takes JJ World League by storm. I'm about it.
In the Masters division? Oh,
are you looking at just JJ World League, or are you thinking about IBJJF Worlds in August? Or what are we thinking?
I don't know. I haven't been the best fan of like the reffing in the JJ World League. It's definitely different from like Grappling Industries, Naga, and Fight to Win that I've done in the past years. So I don't know. The reffing's a little bit different. It feels like JJ World League, they let their competitors like go to the very end, where, you know, an IBJJF and Grappling Industries, if someone is clearly in a sub not moving, then they'll call it. But JJ World League, I've seen people get like face cranked to the max.
That's true.
They said if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. That's what it is.
That's funny. What about you, man?
Oh, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot to look forward to. You know, this podcast is going to be, what, digital now? So we're going to be, like, digital and aspirant. So it's just going to be a new format, trying to look at, you know, I'm excited to learn some new things and figure out how that's going to go. I haven't told everybody, but Jay is leaving SoCal. He's out of here. I'm looking forward to the, I guess, the experience that I'm going to have in my new location with me and my lady. And, you know, this is jiu-jitsu aside, you know, we'll be in Africa coming in next year. And then when we get back, then we'll settle down into our real place. So it's kind of like, it's just adventure time now, if that makes sense. So I'm looking forward to the adventures. As far as jiu-jitsu goes, I would say, you know, just learning. I think I lost my little drive for learning within jiu-jitsu, just in growing in the sense of, like, there was just a lot going on in this last year that it kind of changed that. And I feel like I've kind of gotten back into the swing of things in the last few weeks. It's just like, oh, yeah, this is why I enjoy this. You know, this is what this is about. And I think the biggest thing that I would say that I've learned is, like, jiu-jitsu teaches you everything you need to know about life, you know, in the sense of, you know, I just took a test, right? And I was worried if I was going to pass it. I didn't know how I was going to study or train for it. But I have studied and trained so much for tests, so to say. And I knew that all I had to do was put the work in and it would just translate. And that's the same thing with the test that I just passed and the same thing with my competitions. Yeah, maybe I didn't get an A in my competitions. A would be gold medal, right? But I did put the work in and I got a B because I got that silver medal. You know what I mean? And so I feel like jiu-jitsu just prepares you to take losses over and over again and to understand that the losses don't define you. And if you can look through the losses and look at how to get better, it's going to shape you into a better human.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Jiu-jitsu is one of those sports where you can start at square one at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's acceptable, you know, and it's acceptable to, continually get your ass kicked. And then you just got to get back up again and keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with that one for sure.
DJ, you're up, bro.
Well, you've got a situation going.
I know here. You got both hands tied up, bro.
Honestly, this has been a pretty frustrating year. I miss being, because before this happened, I was kind of in my flow. I was doing Muay Thai and then doing jiu-jitsu class after. And I was forced to take a step back, but right now, just not being able to train recently, I'm just super hungry, bro. I miss feeling like, you know, I miss feeling like a fucking monster, dude. I miss feeling like I did something that I enjoyed with my day, you know. And like, don't get me wrong, like I like hiking and walking, but I haven't been able to like throw weight around. I haven't been able to.
Really, you can't barambolo while you're hiking.
Yeah, exactly, I can't. You know, and I wouldn't even try and barambolo a bear. No. but I'm just ready to come back. I have my plan for whenever I come back, and then, you know, I just kind of miss the grind. It's been like 5-6 months now. So I'm just kind of ready for things to get back to how they were. It kind of like re-sparked my love for jiu-jitsu because if I'm being real, dude, I'm good off video games. I'm good off Legos, you know. There's only so many walks around with the dog that can. I need that.
Yeah. You know, that Neanderthal vibe.
You're not lifting at all right now, are you?
No, it got to the point where like a lot of stuff, like they ended up fixing some nerve issues that I had in here in my hand.
Oh my gosh.
They had to take an extra tendon that I had from here because this one healed too much and they had to cut some of it and then it just didn't reach. So they had to take it from here and then put it in here.
Oh man. What's recovery time look like?
They said 4 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they cut my palm open right here and then to like down here. So
it's going to be quite the scar coming when you get that removed.
They showed me, I haven't seen it, but they showed me like with a pencil, like where they were going to cut me open. It's like a picture, but yeah, I'm just super ready to kind of get back to it. And then funny enough, I don't know if he knows, but he knows Ross fucked up, dude. Not only am I like healing, he gave me someone to put on my, I'm going to fuck this guy up.
He's on your shit list.
Yeah, he gave me. Oh. And not I wouldn't say on my shit list, you know, just like.
I see you, bro.
Yeah, like he was talking like he was going to beat me up. So he gave me someone to do my push-ups and be like, never in his life. You know, he gave me some bulletin board material. So okay. I'm just kind of ready to go.
Man. It looks like he's on both our lists then.
You know, yeah. You know. And like no, and like again to Ross, it's not like I know it's a friendly thing, but just because everyone's been coddling me and Ross was like, I'll beat your ass. And I respect that and I appreciate it, but it did get you like he said he was gonna beat my ass. That's the first person I gotta prove.
You got That's the funny. Pin already on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is, but you know, I'm just ready to start the process to come back.
Okay.
That's it.
You know, well, I'm a start up the positivity vibes and we'll close out. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's been, you know, I'm positive that you guys have feel like I'm really happy and excited that, you know, we got viewership and we got followers and you know, it's been a fun journey. And yeah, we gonna keep doing it. What do we say? We'll say 1,000 more, something like that. 1,000 episodes.
Oh yeah, 2,000. 2,000. We're going for One Piece numbers.
Yeah, One Piece. All right. Yeah. So no, I'm positive. And again, you know, positive that I'm alive to just keep striving, you know, and just you know pushing forward and learning.
I love sitting here and chatting with you guys. You guys are so much fun. And, you know, I hope we can keep this dynamic going digitally. And, you know, like I said, I'm always down to do like a digital podcast. Yeah. And definitely going to be visiting in the Bay Area too. I do like visiting. I do like the Bay Area. I've got family up there too, but yeah, I am excited for the fans and the followers that we have, you know, amassed over this time. So can't wait to see it keep growing.
And for me, you know, I've said it a few times. I think I said it the last three times. But my positive thing is, like, this is something I remember when you asked me about doing a podcast. I told you that I've always wanted to do a podcast.
Yes.
So this was something that I got to enjoy, and not only like enjoy it, but it's something I got to check off my bucket list. And I'm excited that we talked about taking a break for a little bit afterwards. Yeah. But I'm excited that we're going to keep going, and I'm excited for the progress that's going to be made whenever we come back.
We're going to take a small break. Just so everyone knows, probably it's like January into January, top of February is when we start back up. We're in, you know, we got 3 more weeks as this being filmed. We've already filmed the first episode that's going to come out. This will be the second episode after that. And then we're going to do the third episode sometime this week or next week. So we really only have 3 episodes left for this season. So yeah, by mid October, we're going to be out of here for what, a month and a half, 2 months.
Oh man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then we're gonna come back. DJ's gonna be kind of fixed, and yeah, that's where we're at.
Kind of fixed.
I think they said my fingers will start closing at around November.
Oh my God, they have a timeline for it. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Maybe we do like a mid December, just for the fun of it.
Well, I do have a secret training arc that I'm gonna go through.
Okay,
as soon as they're cleared to like I'm cleared. I'm going to go home for a week.
Let's get it.
Go train with my brother and let him put me in side control.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want to road trip out to y'all because I hear y'all want the smoke. Let's go. I've been resting up. I'm healing. I want all y'all at Three Crosses Jiu-Jitsu. every last one of y'all.
We're going to clip this in memory. No.
We're going to clip this.
You're welcome to come to Denver. You want the altitude training.
Oh God, I don't.
I love it. I personally love it.
I played college football out there for
a bit. Oh, yeah, you did.
And that was the best shape I was in my life. But the memories of just the fucking conditioning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. PTA. Oh God! I remember they had us do 100. They had us do 120 up downs before our last like practice. So the first one we started off with 10, and then every day I forgot how we did it. We ended at 120, and I remember he was like, "How's that feel?" And I thought in the back of my head, I'm like, "I should fucking kill you."
Yes.
Oh man.
Well,
it's signing out, man.
It's signing out.
You know, you got anything you want to plug?
No, you can follow me on Instagram at @maybe_Lizzie.
All right. You know what it is. Like, comment, subscribe. It's been real. And if you want to smoke, even during break, hit up T, hit up Jay, and hit up Ross. They'll gladly take care of you.
I'm still retired. Except for anyone in Three Crosses. Like, we're coming out of retirement for you guys.
I can't wait, dude. They already have a lineup for you, dude.
No, I know.
I can't with y'all.
Archie's already planned your visit if you ever come.
I'm about it. We'll see.
Yeah, you got a bunch of fat dudes waiting to lay on.
Well, I hope they got the cardio because I know how to deal with them. Make them, man. I can't even say it right. I'm already losing. I'll shut up. All right, y'all. We out. Y'all stay blessed.